Well, good morning to all. It's good to see each one of you here this morning. And if you have ever wondered what a church would be like without youth, you can look around and kind of see what that's like. We're thankful for our youth group, and often we take them for granted. And it's good to have some of the youth here, and a few visiting youth, we're glad you're here too. We're thankful for our youth and what they add to our church. It would be different not to have a youth group. Well, for a message, I invite you to 1 Samuel. I'd like to continue with our study of 1 Samuel today. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Several weeks ago, we looked at the first part of this chapter and considered God's purpose in prayer. 1 Samuel 1 begins with a woman who is suffering and in great distress. And Hannah took her distresses to God in prayer. And in doing so, she taught us something valuable about prayer. And that is, God accomplishes his purposes through prayer. And so we concluded with verse 20. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. So today we are rejoicing with Hannah. Her prayer of many years has been answered. Her former anguish has been replaced with joy, and she no longer carries that title, the barren wife. And so back in verse 11, Hannah made a vow to the Lord that if he gave her a son, she would give that son back to him to serve him in the temple all the days of his life. And so will Hannah remember her vow? Will she actually follow through with her vow and give her young son to the Lord? Now, Hannah's situation was different from ours in many ways. We no longer have priests and temples. Samuel was a unique person raised up by God at a key time in Israel's history. And he would help bridge the gap between the judges and the kings. And yet there is much to be learned from Hannah's dedication of Samuel. And so, in the vows that you have made before God and others, have you followed through, or are you following through? And today we will look at several principles of dedication from these continuing verses. And my prayer is that these principles will challenge us in our dedication to the Lord. And so I titled this message, Dedicated to What We Have Vowed. And I have three principles of dedication to consider today. And so the first principle to be learned is balancing your responsibilities. When it comes to dedicating something to the Lord, be it your child or your life, it always involves a balancing of responsibilities. And let's read verses 21 and 22 at this time. Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, not until the child is weaned, then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. We find in these verses a number of conflicting responsibilities. Hannah, which reminds us first of our own schedules. Elkanah was responsible to fulfill his vow to the Lord. And Hannah was responsible to fulfill her vow. And Elkanah was responsible to bring his family to Shiloh to offer the annual sacrifice. And Hannah was responsible to wean her child. Elkanah was responsible to make the final decision as to what they would do, and Hannah was responsible to submit to that decision. And that sounds a bit familiar. Life can get complicated at times. Life is full of responsibilities. You are responsible for your personal life, for your family, for your church involvement, and for your work. And as we well know, these areas of responsibility often overlap and sometimes conflict with each other. And so the question often is, how do you know what you should do when? In the instruction book that we use for our young believers, that book has a lesson titled, How to Grow in the Christian Life. And one of the points in that study is that we grow in a balanced way. And the lesson takes us to Luke 2:52, where it says, And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. And this verse points out that Jesus was growing, or Jesus was maturing, in four ways. Jesus increased in wisdom. He was growing mentally. Jesus increased in stature. He was growing physically. Jesus increased in favor with God. He was growing spiritually. And Jesus increased in favor with man. He was growing socially. And as I have thought about this verse over the years, I've come to believe that this balance of mental, physical, spiritual, and social is not only good for young believers, but it's good for Christians of all ages, young and old, not only for growing, but for living out the Christian life. This balance doesn't just happen magically. It takes much effort and dedication to fulfill our biblical responsibilities in each of these areas without neglecting the others. And we must acknowledge that our own willpower and determination is not enough here. God must be part of this. You know, a man that I know and I believe many of you know as well, he strives to live a very balanced and disciplined life, said to me recently, I have found that freedom is found in discipline. And we already know that that's true for children. Children that have structure and discipline in their lives are generally the happiest children. And so it is for adults. Freedom is found in discipline. And so we have this going on here in Elkanah and Hannah's life, this thing of balancing and trying to figure out who should do what. Another responsibility Elkanah had here was related to Hannah's vow itself. In the Old Testament times, the husband was responsible to confirm his wife's vows. According to Numbers 30, Elkanah would have had an opportunity to declare Hannah's vow a rash promise and prohibit her from fulfilling it. And the fact that he did not do so shows his love and respect for Hannah. In verse 23, we see Elkanah confirming Hannah's vow. Verse Samuel 1:23. So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word. Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. The phrase, "only let the Lord establish his word," is likely the word that was spoken through Eli the priest when he pronounced God's blessing upon Hannah's prayer in the temple. In one sense, God had fulfilled his word already through the birth of Samuel, but that was only the first part of Hannah's prayer. She had prayed not only for a son, but for a son that she could give back to the Lord all the days of his life. Elkanah now asks that God would make good his word on that part of the vow as well. You see, there's more to this story than just Hannah and her wanting a son and all that. The fact that Elkanah confirms Hannah's vow here is really remarkable. Samuel was Elkanah's son too. In fact, Samuel was his firstborn, and at this point, the only son through his beloved wife, Hannah. And so it's remarkable that he confirms her vow and expressed his own desire for God's word to be fulfilled through Samuel. And so the scene here in these verses with Elkanah and Hannah working through this difficulty, trying to figure out who should go where, I believe it's a beautiful scene, and I believe it can warm our hearts. They have various responsibilities here that overlap and even conflict, but together they work it out. They realize that God has called them to be faithful in a number of different areas, and they work together to balance out those responsibilities. Elkanah, he goes off to Shiloh with Peninnah and her children. Hannah stays home with Samuel until he is weaned. And we can imagine that these must have been such precious times for Hannah, alone with her son, knowing that she only had a few short years with him. And so principle one is simply dedication to God will require balancing your responsibilities. The second principle to be learned about dedication is sacrificing what is dear. Sacrificing what is dear. Look at verse 24. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bulls, one ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And from what I understand from my study, it's believed that Hebrew children were around 3 years of age when they were weaned. And so Samuel probably would have been about 3 years old when Hannah brought him to the temple. And as you can see, Elkanah and Hannah also brought gifts and sacrificed with them as part of the dedication service. Other translations say that they brought a three-year-old bull along with them. But I like the translation of the King James, and I'll tell you why. I believe it's very possible that this could be translated, as it says here, three young bulls. At the completion of a special vow, the law only required that they would bring one bull. But I believe that they brought the three bulls because the ephah of flour that they brought was also three times the required amount. And so I believe the translation, three young bulls, is correct. And you can find more of these details in Numbers 15 if you would want to study into that more. So we know they brought more than what was required, and maybe for several reasons. Perhaps this was an expression of their devotion Perhaps it was because this was a special situation. God had granted them a miraculous birth, and they were dedicating their son for life. Another commentator said this, that this was the first time that Samuel was brought to the annual feast. This would have been the first time that he was brought to the temple at 3 years old. So he wonders if perhaps they brought a bull to represent each year of his age, and also the flower three times representing the age of Samuel. We don't know, but whatever the reason, their gifts illustrate an important point, and that is true dedication is costly, and it involves sacrifice. This dedication costs more than just the gift of bulls and flour. It cost Elkanah, his only child, through his beloved wife, Hannah. And it cost Hannah her only child, period. And true dedication involves sacrificing that which is dear to you. And it's not an easy thing to do. But the truth is, anything in life that's worth doing and will truly make a difference is not easy. It will be hard work. And another truth is, hard work generally follows answered prayer. You can think about that for a while, but I believe that's true. When I was thinking about this morning, back in January, we had an Amish crew that was working there at our shop. And one of the men on that crew was a brand new father, had a newborn baby at home. And he would come to work, and his eyes were bloodshot, and he wasn't getting much sleep. And I said to him one day, not first thing in the morning, but I said, you know, newborns are often referred to as a bundle of joy. You know, this bundle of joy. But usually it's the grandparents saying that. Not so much. They don't seem much. 2 o'clock in the morning, you're walking the floors. Not so much. But hard work generally follows answered prayer. And so we have it in Elkanah's story. But I want to consider one more thing about the bull sacrifice before we move on. You know, the blood sacrifices of the Old Testament all point forward to Christ's death on the cross. And you know, the cross was costly for Jesus. And we could talk at length about what the cross cost Jesus. The cross is costly. If you believe in it, it comes with a cost. And if you reject it, it comes with even a greater cost. You simply can't get around the cost of the cross. And I thought of the account in Mark chapter 10, 17 through 22. You can turn there if you want. This is the account that's often referred to as the rich young man. But we're thinking about the cost of the cross. We're thinking about the cost of dedication. Mark 10, 17, and you will notice immediately the question of the young man. And the question was, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? In other words, what is the cost? What will it cost me? Verse 17, now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said to him, Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him, One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. But he was sad at this word, and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Here is a young man that I believe had it all together. In fact, I believe he was a cool guy. Notice his energy. He ran, you know, ran to Jesus. And my, look at his character. And then money. This guy was cool. And I believe this guy was respected by his family and his friends. He was known in his hometown for his outstanding character. I mean, even Jesus himself couldn't help but love the guy. We see that in verse 21. However, Jesus pointed out that one thing that was dear to him. One thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. To take up the cross seemed too costly for this young man, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. The cross comes with a cost. The sacrifice of the bull at Samuel's dedication is a reminder to us today of the cost of the cross. Well, the third and final principle to be learned about dedication is simply following through, which isn't always simple to do. But following through, that's the third principle that we want to consider today. Dedicating something to the Lord involves balance, balancing your responsibility, sacrificing what is dear, and now thirdly, following through. You know, it's relatively easy to make a vow. It's not that hard. It's not that hard to sign a contract, make a promise, swipe a credit card. But following through is what separates the men from the boys. It's what separates the committed from those who are not committed. You know, Hannah could have talked herself out of this vow. You know, she could have said, you know, I think I was out of my mind that day when I made that vow in the temple. I mean, even Eli the priest thought I was drunk. You know, I was so stressed from Peninnah harassing me that I went into the temple and I just lost it for a while. You know, I really don't know what I said that day in the temple. She could have talked herself out of it, but it doesn't appear like Hannah ever wavered. But being human, I would believe that she probably had her times of doubt. Well, let's read verses 25 through 28. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, Oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. Her opening words to Eli, as your soul lives, Hannah takes an oath and identifies herself as the woman who stood praying in the temple not too many years before. She has returned to the very place where she poured out her soul to the Lord in prayer. And it's interesting to note here, Hannah uses two different words for give in verse 27 and 28. In verse 27, when Hannah says that the Lord granted her what she asked of him, she uses the simple word give as to give someone a gift. But in verse 28, when she twice uses the word lent, she uses a different word, a word that means more like to give back or to give in response to a request. In other words, we do not give to God the same way God gives to us. God owns everything, both before and after he gives it to us. And God owns everything, both before and after we give it to him. When God gives you something, he is entrusting you with something that belongs to him. But when we give to the Lord, we can really only give back. Everything we have comes from God. Your children, your home, your work, your life, these are all gifts from God. So when you give or dedicate things to the Lord, you are really giving back to the one who owns it all already. God gave Samuel to Hannah. Hannah gave Samuel back to the Lord, and in doing so, fulfilled her vow. It does no good to dedicate something to God unless you actually follow through with it. In this old covenant day, Hannah and Elkanah could not physically bring Samuel to the Lord, so they brought him to Eli, the high priest, a representative of God. Now, don't confuse pastors today with Old Testament priests. Your pastor is only a shepherd overseeing the flock. Jesus is your high priest in this New Testament age. You can only bring your children to God through Jesus Christ. And so do keep that in mind. This passage ends with a touchy note. The end of verse 28 says, "So they worship the Lord there." The word worship here means to bow down in worship. And so can you picture the scene here? This 3-year-old boy saying goodbye to his parents, and then the three of them bowing before the Lord in worship. And so we end this passage with Hannah giving her child over to the Lord in service, and little Samuel, in his innocent way, giving himself to the Lord in worship. And so, in conclusion, today's message applies to more than just parents. Hannah's dedication of Samuel is a reminder that everything we have comes from God, and we all should dedicate all that we have to the Lord. I want to leave you today with Hebrews 13, 15, and 16, and you're welcome to turn there if you like. And maybe after hearing this story of Hannah and also Elkanah, you're thinking, who am I? And what do I have to give back to God? Well, you can take Hebrews 13, 15, and 16 with you today. There's something here for all of us. Hebrews 13, verse 15, "Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." You see, there's something for all of us to do. There's something for all of us to lend to the Lord. Praise, thanksgiving, doing good, sharing with others. With such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And so, dear people, Will you dedicate your life to the Lord today? Dedication to God will require balancing your responsibilities, sacrificing what is dear, and following through. God bless you. We'll call for a closing song.